Jerusalem and declare to the world that Jerusalem belongs to God. He's like, where did I get this thought, right? Sky. Okay, so here we go. Let's pray in. And we're going to pray in. We haven't said the Shema prayer in a long time, but the Shema prayer is the truth of God. You know, I love the Shema prayer because the Shema prayer tells you how God wants to be treated. You know what I mean? Like if you met a guy, you're like, look, these are the rules. All right. You want to be with me? You know, right. I have to do it like Jillian would do. Right. You want to be with me? You will not be coming in anytime you feel like it. You will not be smoking. You will clean up after you do. You will not leave your socks on around. You will say nice things to me at all times. Uh-huh. You will compliment me at all times. See what I mean? You give him the rules, right? And that's what God did with the Shema. He's like, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one, right?
Right.
Then he says, and you will love me like this, with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your might, right? Then he says, when you're walking in the way, you will have me on your mind. When you're doing this, you will have me on your mind. Yeah. So the Shema prayer is like, I want to be so ingrained in you that everything about you is about me. Yep. That's how I want to be loved.
I love it.
He's like, that's how I want to be loved. And we take that and go, once saved, always saved. He's like, it's like, not according to the Shema, right? So, I don't know. Now I want to say the Shema prayer. Let's go. We're going to say Shema prayer today. Okay. Here we go. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Ve'avata et Adonai Elocha. Bekov levavaka. Uvko nefishka. Uvko mechodecha. Ve'hayu ha-devarim ha-ele asher anoki mishvacha ha-yom al levavaka. Ve'shanatam levanecha. ודברת בם בשבתך, בביתך, ובלתך, ודרך, ושכבך, וקומך. ושרתם לאות על ידיך, והיו לטפות בין עיניך, ופתפתם על מזוזות ביתך ובשעריך. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. Then you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Let these words which I command you today be on your heart. Repeat them to your children. Speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk on the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Bind them as a sign on your arm and let them be a frontlet between your forehead, between your eyes. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. And those are the words of God Almighty saying, this is how I want you to love me. Yeah. And I found out they actually do this because I had dinner at the rabbi's house. And it was when once Sabbath started, we couldn't talk about anything but what scripture and God. So I, you know, me being a Gentile, I'm trying, oh, hey, you know, to see the game, it's like, we don't do that here. It's like it's Sabbath. We talk about God and God only until the end of the Sabbath. So although I'm sitting having dinner with them, they only want to say, if you want to say something concerning God, you couldn't just bring up a subject like, you know, your wisdom. They don't, it's like, no. Is it in the scripture? We only want to hear about beautiful things about God. And when the Sabbath's over, then we can talk about football. But we don't do that here, Sandy. So he said, there'll be no football talk here tonight. So you learn that, you know, I mean, the Jews, they have the book and they have some strict rules and they don't understand Yeshua. But to me, that was beautiful. Okay. I need you, if you're in your scriptures, I need you to be on page 5, okay?
Oh, Pastor, you want to talk about
Oh, I mean page 4. I'm sorry. No, I'm not going to talk about that. Because I'm going to look into that. Because so next time I talk about that, it'll be clear. Okay? But yeah, 5, 12, 8, 9 should be Deuteronomy, not 5, 2, 8, 8. Okay? And so, now, I'm going to read Matthew chapter 12, verse 39. And it goes like this. It says, "But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of Jonah." Okay? Now, the sign of Jonah, which the name Jonah means dove. You guys know that, right? The name Jonah means dove. So the sign of the dove, or the sign of the Holy Spirit, or God could even be speaking as he speaks in Hebrew. I'm talking numbers at the same time. The sign of 71 will be given to you, but that's the only sign that will be given to you. Mm-hmm. The sign of the Holy Spirit will be given to you, but that's the only sign you're going to see is the sign of the Holy Spirit. So he's saying, when God is speaking, because when he's writing, he's calculating. Do you know that? God is calculating while when he's writing, he's calculating numbers. He's like, the rock of your salvation, 296. 3 times 296 is 888. Oh, that's Jesus. So he's thinking about all of this. I was like, when I get to heaven, I'm going to go, "You're a genius." And he's going to go, "Psst. I know that." he's since he's not arrogant, he'd be like, "Thank you." You know, but the scriptures, both Hebrew and Greek, are also numbers as well. Okay, so if the only sign given to us is 71, and Deuteronomy chapter, I mean, the whole book of Deuteronomy has 959 verses, then, and you take out 8:8, that's Jesus, all that's left is 71, which is the dove, the Holy Spirit. So this is kind of like the last book and maybe the last sign that you're going to get. You understand? So I want us to go to let's do it this way. Let's go to Thessalonians chapter 2. And we'll go up from there, okay? Thessalonians chapter 2. Huh? Second Thessalonians. Yes, thank you for asking. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. I do have a pastor that agrees with me on this scripture because he looked it up in Greek, and I really want to thank that guy. I think he's in Hawaii. He said, "I looked the verse up, and it's apostasia absolutely does not mean fall from your religion." He said, or going, getting away from your, he said, it's just a word that means, it can mean departure or it can mean the defection. So, we'd have to go line upon line, precept upon precept, and see if a defection or a departure causes the Antichrist to come. Because if a defection or a departure then opens the door for the Antichrist to come, and that's in other scriptures, then we can say line upon line, precept upon precept. But there's no other scripture that says, before Jesus can return, people have to be leaving their religion. Because that's the one that's found here. So people say, oh, they say there's going to be a great falling away before Jesus comes back. Wow, now will things get worse and worse and worse? Yes. But there will not, it's not going to be this, all the Christians are getting away from Christianity and then now Jesus can come. Okay? But there will be a departure that will cause Jesus, the Antichrist to come. Okay? So let's read this and then we're going to, we'll do some studying as well. It says, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brother, not to be become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy report or letter supposed to have come from us, saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until a apostasia occurs, okay? And that word means a departure or a defection occurs. What's the defection? See, that bothered me because I was like, if it's only two words, defection or departure, what is the defection? A defection is you're in the middle of a war and you say, I'm done.
Right.
Or your general calls you and say, you guys are done fighting, come out. And someone said, see, they were called out of the battlefield and they thought they were calling them out because they were going to bomb the place, the area. You understand? So they were defected out because the generals like call all of our military people away from that area because we're going to bomb it. Yeah. So they got defected and they thought, oh, the war is over. And he says the war wasn't over. They were just ready to bomb the place, right? So even when we get defected, the war's not over. They get to bomb the place. So we have to know and understand a departure and a defection are the only two definitions of the word apostasia. Now, it doesn't say falling away from your religion. And I gave you the two Greek words from a person who actually is Greek that says, look, these are the two words if you're falling from your religion that you would use. But apostasy is not one of them. But I can, you know, he says, if I'm shopping in a store and the prices are too high, I can apostasy of that church.
Right.
What do you mean? Oh, that means I can leave. I can get out of there because I'm like, the prices are too high. But he said, I would never use that to say a mental, like I'm apostasying my thoughts of love. You don't leave it because you're not physically doing anything. You understand?
So he gave us in church.
But he gave me the two Greek words that mean that, you know, if you're leaving your religion, that's a sign, that's a mental thought. Mm-hmm. It doesn't take a physical action, so it's not a part to see it. You're not leaving and you're not defecting. You understand?
Yeah.
Anyway, I could talk about that all day, but let's continue, okay? Until a departure occurs. And it says, and after that, it says, the man of lawlessness is revealed, okay? So the man of lawlessness will be revealed after the departure. Then it says, the man doomed for destruction, he will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshiped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. This is going to happen after the departure, and Antichrist is going to come, and eventually he's going to set himself up in the temple of God and proclaim to the world he's God. And that's when the Jews are told to what? Flee and get out of there, okay? And God will provide a place for them to be protected. Now it says, don't you remember that I was when I was with you, I used to tell you these things, and now you know what is holding him back, okay? So that he may be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. But the one who holds him back, katekō in the Greek, will continue to do so until he is taken out of the way. So I'm like, okay, what is the numerical value for katekō? The numerical value for katekō is 1726. Okay? So now I go 17:26 is one of the verses that's in Luke that says what? It will be as it was in the days of Noah. So this one speaks of as it was in the days of Noah. And then Matthew, I'm going to erase that. Matthew, I think, what is it, 24? It might be 37. I'm thinking. I'm not sure yet because I have to look. Okay. But now, when you subtract 17 from 24:30, you get 7:1:1, which happens to be Genesis, which the whole thing of as it was in the days of Noah began in 7:1:1 in Genesis. Okay? Now, we say, God didn't do that. Like, God didn't have 959 verses in Deuteronomy. So when you take out 888, which is Jesus, it leaves you 71, which is the Holy Spirit. God didn't do that. Okay? But God is doing things to let you know this is how it's going to be. Okay? Now, the word kateko in the Greek has a numerical value of 17:26. And I'm going to get me another black marker because this one's dying. Okay? So 17:26 is the numerical value of kateko, which is the restrainer or the one who's holding them back, okay? This is the restrainer. Did God give it that numerical value for a reason or not? Because like I told you, when God's writing, he's calculating. Okay? Because everything has to be perfect.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, so we get to this, and then now let's get back to our notes so we can look at this. Because now everything's going to be generated off of the restrainer. And now I'm going to even tell you that the restrainer is the Spirit of God, okay? Now, because the people always ask, well, who's the restrainer? Who's the restrainer? And you just want to go, well, the Bible doesn't actually say, someone said. Well, yeah, the Bible does actually say who the restrainer is, okay? And here's how we're going to find out. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9. Okay. I like this because Hebrews chapter 12 is the one that tells us about this whole thing that's about to happen with the marriage, right? But Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9 says this. It says, moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. However, it says, how much more should we submit to the Father of our spirit and live? Okay? Now, there's a lot of time that the Spirit is written in the New Testament. Only one time is it written in the way where it equals out to 17:26, and it's right here. Okay? Because the word, I think it's, I can't pronounce, Greek's not my thing, pneuma or something like that. It means spirits. But sometimes it can mean, it'll say the evil spirits, and it'll say pneu. But this time, when it says the Father spirits, it spells it completely different. So if you look at your notes, where it says here, yeah, there it is, pneuma spirits, okay? That right there in Hebrew, in the Greek, will have a different numerical value. So if you want to get the numerical value of the spirits that belong to the Father, it becomes 1726, okay? In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 9. And so you get the spirits that belong to the Father having the same numerical value as what? The restrainer that is taken away. You see that? Now watch this. Okay. Let's go to Revelation chapter 4. Well, we don't have to. It's right there. Okay. It says, and round about the throne, there were 24 seats, and upon those seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their head crowns of gold. Now, the way crowns is Stephanos. That's the word for Stephanos, okay? But these are those who are crowned that are the 24 elders. And the way Stephano is spelled here has the same numerical value as the restrainer. Okay? But if you look at the Stephanos, the way it's spelled, when Satan puts a crown on and gets on a white horse, it's spelled different and gives a different numerical value. So the crown that we get, even when God says he puts a crown on their heads, on the 24 elders, and he says they throw them at his feet, that has the same numerical value in its spelling as the restrainer. And that has the same numerical value as the spirits that belong to the Father. So all of the things that are talking about the spirit that's going to be removed has 1726 when we get removed. Then we're in heaven. Now you're seeing these crowns, still 1726, being put on the 24 elders' heads. The people that are standing on the sea of glass are spirits that belong to the Father, which is another 1726. Yeah. And so the whole thing is just telling you the people that come up are going to be 1726. Because the restrainer's bringing them up, I'm putting a crown on their head, and they're the spirits that belong to the Father. They're all 1726, and they all belong. So this is how God is writing, and we're reading in plain language, but God is like, while I'm writing, I'm calculating, okay? Because I want you to know that this book is outside of your intelligence, okay? I really want you to know that this whole book is outside of your intelligence. So some people were sending me different calculations of 888. Okay. The stars declare the glory of God. You know that that scripture's in Psalms chapter 19. It's in the 19th chapter. The stars declare the glory of God. Let's go there. Psalms 19. God's giving me more stuff. Okay. I'm going to get there. Okay. Your Psalms?
Yes.
This is fun now. I really want to teach like this all the time, but I would bore people to death. They'd be like, more numbers? Here we go. Psalms 19. This is how it starts. The heavens declare the glory of God. What do you think the numerical value of that statement is? 888. Just put it off there. Put it in your gematria. The stars declare the glory of God. 888. The stars are declaring Jesus. How many star constellations are there? 48? That declare to you what? Jesus? How is the stars going to declare to me Jesus? Oh, we're going to start off with the Virgo, which you call the Virgo, but we know it's the Virgin Mary, and we're going to end it with the Lion of Judah.
Yeah.
But all of it, from the beginning, from the Virgo having the child to the Lion of Judah returning, is all going to talk about Jesus. And you go, the stars of heaven do declare the glory of God, okay? In Isaiah chapter 66, verse 8. Let's go there. Then this is the last one of my fun thing. Because there's a lot of 888s in the Bible, you guys. Jesus is so much in the Torah and the Tanakh that I don't see how you could possibly miss it if you really study. Especially if you speak Hebrew, you'd be like, wait a minute. Okay, are you there? You're 66? And now watch this, okay? It says, before she goes into labor, she gives birth. Talking about Israel, okay? Before she has any pain come on upon her, she gives birth. You understand? Before the birth pains of Israel come upon her, she gives birth to a male child. Are we talking about Mary? Are we talking about Israel? Because Mary, I'm sure she had birth pains. Okay? But Israel is going to experience something that is beyond understanding. How can a woman have a child without birth pains?
Right.
Now watch this. It says, before she goes into labor, she gives birth. Before the pains come upon her, she delivers a son. Now watch this. This verse right here, who has ever heard of such a thing? That's 888. That numerical value is 888. Jesus. What are we talking about? Okay? How can Israel have a child, but somebody's coming to take a child out of Israel into the kingdom, and she's going to get a birth. She's going to have a birth of a child that came from the root of Israel. And that's the church.
Yes.
We're birthed out of Israel.
Yes.
But we have to be delivered out of here before she goes through tribulation.
Yes.
Therefore, now we're telling you that the church is leaving before tribulation.
Wow.
Because the scriptures is telling you that the church leaves before tribulation.
Yes.
Before she experiences any pain. Listen, it doesn't say before the really bad stuff came. No, they're not talking about 3.5 years. We're not talking about mid-trib. Before she goes into labor, she gives birth. Before the pain came upon her, she delivered a son.
Yes.
No pain, no tribulation. I mean, no birth pains, no, the whole thing. She hasn't even touched it yet, and she gives birth to a son. Then Jesus, right? Then they put, who has ever heard of such a thing? Jesus. Because on this day, Jesus is coming. You understand?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go to the book of Song of Songs.
10 minutes.
Okay. Wow. Okay. I want someone to tell me how many chapters are in the Song of Songs. Okay. How many chapters?
Eight.
How many verses? 117. We get back to this. 117, 711. We get back to Psalms 117. So there's 117 verses in the Song of Songs, and it has 8 verses. Okay, 8 chapters. Okay. In it, it gives a scenario of a Gentile woman going down to the garden in the middle of the spring to see if she can see the early fruit, and a royal chariot comes and swifts her up into the sky, and then the daughters of Israel says, come back, come back, you Shunammite, you beautiful Shunammite. And Jesus says to them, why should she come back? You're about to do the same thing you did in Nehemiah. Go ahead and make Ishbosheth your king. Did you get what I just said?
Yes.
Did you get? This is what is in the book of the Song of Songs, okay? So it's telling you a rapture takes place and Israel is now going to make Ishbosheth their king. What does Ishbosheth mean? A defiled man. So Ishbosheth became king over all of Israel. And guess where David had to go? I have to go to, what's the name of that city? That Caleb inherited?
No, not Caleb.
I'm seeing this. You know what? It blanks my mind. That means we're both 60. Hebron. So Caleb, a Gentile, inherits Hebron. David has to go to Hebron and reign there. And he has to stay there not for 2-3.5 years. He stays there for 7 years and 6 months ruling in a place called in association. Not Hebrew, but in association to Hebrews. Understand? Hebron means in association. It belongs to Caleb because Caleb was the Gentile that came back with a good report. And so God is telling you once again, I won't be back to rule actually in Israel for at least 7 years and 6 months. So this is the Bible trying to tell us and give us, here's a chip for the puzzle. Here's a chip for the puzzle. Here's a chip for the puzzle. So you'll know for absolute sure that Jesus Christ has already told you the story so that, because how many people are going to come? He said, many,
many
are going to come. Claiming they're Jesus? No. They're claiming they're anointed.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord called me to speak this to you. God called me to give you a word.
Mm-hmm.
God's like, I don't even know him. But it's easy to say. It is very easy to say, God called me. And guess what Christians are? We're so trusting. Did you say, Jesus, we love you? Oh, is that a zipper on your costume? Oh, no, no, that couldn't be a zipper. We love you. Come on in. That's Christianity, right? We trust everybody, even though the Bible says, be wise as serpents, right? Harmless as doves, but be wise as serpents. That means be a Berean. Check everything at the door.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Do we do that? No. And I'm tired of it. I'm tired of, someone asked me last night to reconsider. And I love her. I love, reconsider what I said about Billy Graham. And I'm like, I'm thinking I can't. And you know why I can't? Because I know that Billy Graham went to the Vatican, kissed the ring, was friends with President Nixon, friends with President Bush, friends with President Obama, that here is a guy that was preaching the gospel, but all of his friendships, and he's a millionaire, he's got all of these millions of dollars, and all of his friends are presidents who are Skull and Bone members, Luciferians, and then he goes to the Vatican and he's more than welcome.
Right.
And then, but now a young girl comes and says, Oh, he was at Bohemian Grove. I remember him. He was one of them that did that to me. And then we got to say to the young lady, you're a liar, because we ignored the zipper. We ignored the Pope. We ignored President Nixon being his best buddy. We ignored Bush being his best buddy. We ignored all of this because he was preaching the gospel. And anybody who preaches the gospel must be for God. Just ask Kenneth Copeland.
Pastor Sam, doesn't the Bible say, beware of him whom all men speak well of?
Yes. Ooh, Pastor Ben, you're coming strong today. Everybody's speaking well of you.
Everybody.
Even Obama, he was a wonderful guy.
Right.
So I'm just saying, I believe the young lady. Yep. I'm not going to call that young lady, oh, you're a liar, because we don't check at the door, so you're a liar, because his costume was perfect. You know what I mean? So,
seamless.
I'm not going to reconsider it. I'm going to reconsider history. Okay? I'm going to reconsider history, because history tells me his friends weren't the right friends. And I know for absolute sure, if y'all see me on TV and me and Barack Obama having TV laughing it away,
I'm going to throw oil at you.
Okay? And then I leave there and I go hang out with LeBron and Drake just for have dinner, you know, and talk. And then, so all of my companions seem to be not very good people, right? And then, but I preach the gospel. So you believe that what I preach is what I really believe, right? So we really have to wise up and realize I don't have to say anything about it. I don't have to be concerned about it, because God is judge and God is going to know when we get there, okay, what went on and what happened, right? And I'm just saying Satan has been deceiving the church for a long time. This is not new, okay? Come as mine, yes, Lee, Pastor Ben. How much time do I have? Okay, good deal. So now I'm going to read this scripture from Zechariah chapter 4, verse 2. And it's on your page, on page 4. And it says, and say unto them, what seest thou? And I said, I looked, and behold, a candlestick of gold with a bowl on the top of it, and the seven lamps therein, and the seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof. Okay? So Zechariah sees these seven lampstands. Okay? These seven lampstands, God is prophesying to him concerning these seven lampstands being in the presence of God. In chapter 4, in chapter 1, verse 20 of the book of Revelation tells you, here, let's go to chapter 1 of Revelation. Jude, ooh, we got to hit that. I'm going to be doing some serious teaching. Watch this. Chapter 1, verse 20. It says, the mystery of the, this is all in red, so this is Jesus talking. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the seven angels of the seven churches. And the seven lampstands are the seven churches. So now, after I hear a voice speak, right? I hear a voice speak, 222, or the maximum of it, 2220, Psalm chapter 121, lema alot, to ascend. And I know we can't ascend until what? What did John 19 says? Do not go up to the mountain until you see till you hear the trumpet blast. Only when you hear the trumpet blast can you go up. Only when we hear the voice of God can we go up. So Psalms 121 is telling you the ascension is 2220. This is the maximum of the voice of God. Yeah. This is the time.
Yeah.
And for us to keep ignoring everything and all the puzzle pieces and to just say, well, you know, I think everything's going to go back to normal. I think, you know, pretty soon they'll realize they're wrong for treating human beings that way. I mean, firing somebody from a job you control, because Kaiser don't belong to, y'all, Kaiser's a multi-billion dollar, that belongs to Luciferians.
Yes.
ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, Disney, satanic people own this stuff.
Yes.
Okay? And if you don't know and understand this, you think they're just being mean. No, they never liked you in the first place. They've been conjuring up a way to get rid of humans for a long time.
Yep.
Matter of fact, they're trying to get you all on digital currency so they can control you even more. Because right now, guess what? If all the stuff went down, you could still go to the bank, show them your bank statement, and say, you know what, I want to take out this amount of money. And some of the bank people will know you and say, yeah, we know they have this amount of money. Matter of fact, we got a paper record too. They're saying, look, no more paper records for anything. Okay? We want everything on digital.
Yeah.
A matter of fact, we've made our money $25 to $55 stronger than your $1 to get you to give us that $1 and put it on digital. And if we can get the whole world, if we can give the whole world $25 to $55 on each dollar, we can have them all transfer all their currency to crypto, and therefore everything will be on digital, and then we can tell Satan everything's set. Now, if anybody wants to disagree what the Rockefeller brother said to the filmmaker, anybody just we'll just turn off your chip. See, it won't be, you know, I dare you to present a religious exemption in the tribulation.
Right.
I can't take it because I believe in Jesus. You can say that now. Mm-hmm. Then you won't be able to say that.
That's right.
You believe in who? Okay. We
security.
Exactly. Come get you in a second. And you're going to realize the difference between before the tribulation and after the tribulation. Okay?
How did it get so bad so fast?
That's the dream that God gave me, what, in 2009.
Yep.
He said, I saw people coming out of a basement. They had crawled out after this war or this bombing had happened. And all of them came out of this basement tunnel and they were kept asking, how did it get so bad so fast? And the Lord was showing me, when it happens, it switches like that. Because the restraint is gone. There's nothing keeping Satan from doing what he pleases.
Amen.
At that time.
Right.
And so this is why we preach, accept Jesus Christ now. This is why I preach, there's no such thing as once saved, always saved. Because people who preach that don't care if you're in the tribulation. Okay? They don't care if you miss heaven and end up in hell. Because in the tribulation, you don't really know if you're going to have the strength to say, I'm not going to eat, so I'm not taking the mark.
That's right.
You don't know if you're going to have the strength to say that. So I'm just saying it's going to happen. You can't answer the question right now. Okay, so I'm just saying a lot of things are about to happen.
Yes.
And we need to realize and understand why we're preaching. I think that's why God told me to go back to that store and ask God if he wants to accept Christ.
Yeah.
You still had a religious talk. You never offered him me. You know what I mean? And that was just a lesson for me to go, you know, don't come at people with all this knowledge of what they can do and what they can't do. You haven't even asked them the $64,000 question.
Yeah.
Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
I know if we just had a good religious talk and we've talked about what's bad and what's good, and you talked about Catholic and whatever, but have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? That's my question until we leave. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.